Welcome to Dear Alice, a lifestyle approach to interior design. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dear Alice. Before we jump into the podcast, we first want to give a shout out to our homies over at Grove. They're making my life so easy these days.
How are they making your life easier these days, Jess?
Thanks for asking, Sue. Well, they're the best because you know how stressful going to the store has been. Mm-hmm. It's just nothing worse than forgetting something on your list and needing to make multiple trips. And so shopping from home for just like the essentials can be so easy with Grove. And right now we're trying to keep our homes so clean and healthy. And I really hope this trend continues even now totally. That we're starting to get vaccinized. But what I've realized is I don't have to walk through the cleaning aisle anymore. It's fluorescent. It smells.
It's assaulting.
Right. It is. Right? It's assaulting just to my retinas. It's just so fluorescent and bright and full of colors. And now I just have this amazing Pot Grove app on my phone. I was going to call it a podcast, but it's an app. and they tell me like 3 days before we're going to ship your order. And then I go through and I edit it or I go with it. This week alone, I just got glass straws for my drinks. Right? I know, yes, me.
No turtles harmed. Thank heavens. Thanks, Grove.
Totally. It's the best. So they have everything, thousands of things for your home, beauty, personal care products, all guaranteed to be good for you, your family, and the planet. And I'm going to add, and for Lady Bennett, my dog, because I got their pet spray for their little paws. And they have little wipes. And so before she gets in bed with me, I can make sure she's clean. And so are my white sheets.
Lovely.
It's the best. So I just wanted to let you guys know they have a little promotion going on right now that for our listeners, if you go to grove.co/dearalice, that's again, grove.co, not com. So grove.co/dearalice, you're going to get to choose a free gift when you first order $30 or more, but you have to use our special code. So again, go to grove.co/dearalice to get your exclusive offer. That's grove.co/dearalice. Okay. Let's get into the podcast.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to Dear Alice, everyone. We're so excited you're here. And today we're going to be talking about ways to design on a budget, which we have referenced this in the past on previous podcasts, but we had a request from Adriel Moxley. He says, hello, your podcast is one of my favorites. I would love to listen to an episode with tips on how to prioritize when working within a tight budget. I wish I had endless budget, but like the majority of people, I don't. Winky face, tongue sticking out.
We get you, Adriel, whether you're a man or a woman, we totally understand this. And we feel like everybody has a budget. Sometimes they don't want to talk about it. But one of the rules of thumb that I read a long time ago was that your budget of your furniture should be about 10% of the purchase price of your home. We believe it should be between 10 and 20%, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. So if that kind of gives you an idea, because everybody knows what you paid for your home. As you're thinking through that, we're going to talk through ways, things that you can save on, ways that we save, ways that we get the most out of when we're sort of thrifting and looking for a deal.
Is that 10 to 20%? Is that like starting from ground zero? You have no furniture.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. So, and you know, like you built your home, Corey and I did too. So you're like, well, does that include the land? Yeah. But you're like, think of your home if you were to find your home on the MLS and purchase it. So it would be everything included in your home. So yeah, it would include the land.
Well, no. I'm talking about like if you're starting from ground zero with furniture.
Yeah.
You have no other existing furniture.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Which you already have some pieces. Mm-hmm. And so do you, Adriel. I'm sure that you have pieces too that you're going to be bringing with you. And then you guys should also consider what your parents have that you could steal. I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. Hopefully your parents have good taste. Or if not, your grandparents mm-hmm. were hopefully well-funded. anyway, let's talk about some of our tips and tricks on saving money.
Yeah. Yeah. And whether you're talking, I mean, obviously we touched on furniture and we'll talk about that in a second, but I think in the overall build of a house or remodel of a house, I think there are a lot of tips mm-hmm. that we can give you to be responsible when selecting your finishes and how you actually finish this set home. Right.
Yeah.
one of the things that we were talking about, and Jess, you have experience with this in your house when you were building, a lot of people want these big grandiose double height, like two-story ceilings. Mm-hmm. And what they don't realize is it's really expensive to frame that. Yeah. And the bigger the house, the more money you're going to spend on finishing it. So yeah, there really is something to furring down those ceilings, because you won't have as much vertical wall to treat. And as far as your framing is going to be a lot more simple.
Totally.
I can speak to that.
Yeah. Well, and also like if you think about your window treatments, yeah, right? Then you've got two-story
That'll bump your budget. You have
two-story windows to cover. And then, painting two-story walls and trimming out two-story windows, or if you want to do finish work on them. And it just absolutely costs a lot. You've just got to have a lot of money to have a double-story room. Like for myself, I did a double-story room at the back of my home, and I did a lot of really beautiful finish work. I built a home that looks like a lake house. And the cost of that ceiling was probably the most expensive finish work in my house. I still love it. I would still do it today. But you have to consider that. And I think for me, the goal, I also had an upstairs originally drawn on my house with the architect. And at the end of the day, he said that upstairs, which was just two bedrooms for my girls, it was a staircase, two bedrooms and a bathroom up there. And that was going to add $500,000 to the cost of the build of my home, he said. Okay. Yeah, which was so crazy, right? Yeah. There might have been a little joint loft space or something like that too. It is a big add-on. And I knew that I wanted to finish my home well. And I thought I would rather live in a really beautifully finished home than move in and be house poor. Mm-hmm. And I knew I needed to get window coverings. I knew I wanted real wool carpet. I knew I wanted finish work. There's just a lot of things that, because we do this for a living, I kind of know what the cost of these things are. And I was like, you know what? There's a basement in my home. My girls can sleep down there. Yeah. I grew up like that. It's still going to be beautiful. It's a daylight basement. There's full windows, not necessarily window wells, and it will still be beautiful. Mm-hmm. So we cut the upstairs off our house before we even began to try and save money.
Yeah. I think you touched on a really good point that you wanted to finish it well. Mm-hmm. And I think and those things that you just didn't want to sacrifice, Adriel, I would say, figure out what are your must-haves while you're doing your home, and like make room for those things. And then you can value engineer other things that aren't as important to you.
Yes.
Right.
And that list is different for everybody.
It is.
But maybe you're asking, cause you're like, I don't know what's important. How do I prioritize the spending of our money? So if we're going to big sister and big brother you through this, we're just going to give you our very best advice and hope that you value the same things that we do. Yep. Yeah. So I think that that one of the designers we always talk about this in our design meeting on Monday mornings. And so we were asking them, what do you think great advice for the podcast would be? And one of them said, I would talk about like, what's the first thing you're going to see when you walk in the home? And like, I think it's something beautiful there would be worth investing in. So, if you walk in, you have a beautiful big hall chest and a pair of candlestick lamps and a big mirror, you know, that entryway. Sometimes you can find beautiful old chests in burl wood or, something really exotic. Maybe you're thrifting that. Maybe you're finding it at a vintage store, but maybe you buy the mirror new and the lamps are new. That sort of thing. I think sort of first impressions are worth spending money on to me.
Buy something that's opinionated, that people, that's a memory point when they first walk into your house. What do they see and what does it say about you?
Totally.
So I think that's such good advice. And I mean, you can be, if you want to do this on a budget, you just have to be creative. You have to be good at the hunt. Mm-hmm. And that is how, and you have to be, I think, discerning on what you pick, because not all vintage things are good. You have to know what's good. And so we made a point to say, study images, study famous architects that have developed furniture in the mid-50s, 60s, really understand what has value, what you're drawn to, search for those things. And when you find it, it'll be all the sweeter of a reward, because you'll be like, yes. And then you'll have a story to tell behind this piece that you researched, this architect or designer. So,
I think you guys hear us say all the time, like, go bigger, go bigger, go bigger. It's going to make your space feel bigger. Mm-hmm. That mirror on top of the chest could go clear to the ceiling. Mm-hmm. That's going to make a huge entryway and your entry will feel big. Mm-hmm. For the ground, I cannot stress this enough. I think it'd be so cool if you guys did a search online for antique hand knotted rugs. you can afford to do this in your entryway because maybe your entry, you need 5x7, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it's even a 4x6. I don't know how big of a rug will fit. Go as big as you dare do it mm-hmm. and search for that because that rug will never wear out because it's knotted. And so you can get it cleaned 100 times and it will clean up so beautifully and continue to wear it. Also, they're thinner. And so the door can usually swing over the top of them. Make sure and get a good rug pad. If it's going on a hard surface like tile or hardwood, you can just get those little silicone waffle-y kind. Put that under it. Will help grip it. So I think that would be a really gorgeous first impression.
And when it's vintage, it's going to cost less than buying a new hand-knotted rug.
Totally.
So again, ways to tighten up your budget. That is an awesome way. And you're going to search for hand knotted. Mm-hmm. You're going to write that in your little search bar. And you can do things like Persian. You can do Turkish. You can do Moroccan, you know.
Yeah.
You can get clever.
Make sure it has the word vintage in front of it. Because if you get the new ones, then you might be surprised at the price.
Oh, Grow.
We're going to take a quick intermission from the podcast to mention our sponsor, Grove. When we're designing a space, Sue, we are always working on all 5 of the senses. Yeah. The touch, the taste, the smell, the whole experience for people because we're trying to create a mood, a feeling of home. And one of the things I love about Grove is you can kind of create a signature scent within the home. I just discovered mine using Grove. They have a product and the scent is neroli and sea salt. And now I have it in my laundry detergent and then I've got it in a counter spray. I've got the dish soap and I've got the hand soap all at my kitchen sink. And I love that uniformed smell and it's non-chemical and it is amazing. It smells like Jo Malone just spread throughout my house. Yeah. But it's a brand that they sell at Grove and it's so delicious. So make sure and explore all the categories of Grove and the scents because I think that's really important for the design.
Never smelled a bad one either from Grove. So whatever it is, order a few, try them out. And it's such a great backdrop for all the other things that are going to be happening in your home. They make it so easy and so beautiful and uniform. So excited for you.
Definitely. So when you make the switch to natural products, it's never been easier. For a limited time, our listeners go to grove.co/dearalice and you're going to be able to choose a free gift with your order of $30 or more. But you can't do it without our special code. So make sure and go to grove.co/dearalice to get your exclusive offer. And back to our podcast. Another rule would be like if you're walking into now your living space, whether you have a living room and a family room or just one living space, we think it's worth investing in the piece that you're going to be sitting on the most. Mm-hmm. Because if you cheap on that, then you're going to have a miserable experience every time you go to sit down and watch TV. You're going to be like, dang it. Why did I save money on this thing? You know, like I have the worst lifestyle. My back hurts.
And it's so hard too. If you're like, oh, I'll just buy something from West Elm or whatever. I'll grab this one that's less expensive now and I'll get a better one later. It's just, it doesn't happen, you know? Mm-hmm. So even if you have to live with like nothing else in the room while you wait to be able to afford those things, at least the pieces that you have, you know, that you invested in. Mm-hmm. So again, even if it's a matter of being patient too, Adriel, like, it doesn't all have to happen overnight. We all want it to, but even us as designers, like we bite off what we can, but we make sure that it's awesome.
Totally.
And that we're not going to be, you know, regretting those decisions because we have to sit in it, guys. Mm-hmm. That's a painful, cheap foam cushion to stab us in the bum. So.
Totally. You can totally, thrift an accent chair that will go in the room. You could also thrift on maybe a side table or something like that.
So make sure that they're a good size. Because when like even the other day, I was looking at these rad end tables. There were these Burl. They had this awesome like leg turn. I looked at the dimensions. I'm like, they were just too small. And I'm like, if I had a teeny tiny dorm room, those would be awesome.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make any sense. And so like I passed on it, but you have to like just understand your scale. Mm-hmm. And like just says, you got to go big.
Yeah.
If you want it to like feel expensive, but you can find it, but just pay attention to the scale.
A pro tip on that would be to thrift for a dining table because there are 36-inch round dining tables and your sofa is at least 36 inches deep, which means that dining table will not stick out further than your sofa will. It'll be perfect in the corner. So I would do that. That's a Ralph Lauren trick. He uses dining tables as end tables in a bedroom and it looks amazing. And it could be in a gorgeous wood or a marble or whatever. So search for this. It's like a cafe table, I guess. Some of them are marble, some are wood, but search for that for your side table. Mm-hmm. That would be a really good thing. Sue, I think this would be a really good place to talk about. Sue is got a really good eye and she's great at the high-low game. You just recently moved into a brand new home and had a baby.
Not a brand new home.
Well, sorry.
Definitely not brand new.
It was new to you. Yes. It was an older home built in the 70s with a lot of potential. And Sue has a gorgeous eye, so she did the right thing. But she moved into a new home to them and she had a baby at the same time and was just like, oh my gosh, I don't have anything for a nursery because everything I have goes to my other son and you had given away your crib already. So tell them how you did the high-low game in the nursery.
Yeah, the high-low game. The first thing I did, again, one thing to invest in, I think, is your window treatments or just like shades. So you skin the room and what you can. So we carpeted, we painted. And that's something, obviously, as far as designing on a budget, if you want a big look, mm-hmm. I think this is a great point. That you can skin if you like. I love wallpaper. I love an attitude. But I just moved into this house and I just needed to have it be expressive. And so we painted it green, but I painted this walls the same color as the ceiling. And I did a tone of that on.
Tell them how tall your ceilings are.
I have 8-foot ceilings. That's 96 inches. Mm-hmm. Not very tall. And probably a lot of older homes, if you're living in an older home, are only 8 feet. And so by taking that color of the wall onto the ceiling, I think it grew. Jess, would you agree?
Oh yeah, for sure.
It just looks opinionated, like just no regrets. It's a super confident way to design a space mm-hmm. by just taking that color and wrapping it, and paint's the cheapest thing you can do.
Yeah.
Guys, to have a big design on short ceilings and a short budget. So we did that.
And you painted it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
My husband, luckily that was one of his previous lives. He was a house painter. So anyway, he painted.
I didn't paint
it. But thanks, Tom. So anyway, so you can do something wild like that. I found that brands, again, searching for brands that you like mm-hmm. and knowing what those names are, then you go on a search engine like Facebook Marketplace. And there was this brand called OEUF. OEUF. Anyway, it's this kind of Scandinavian high-end children's brand. And so I found a crib that I ended up having my brother-in-law, who's a cabinet maker, he painted it high gloss, a darker green of the same green that I did on the walls. Mm. So we had it painted. And so it's this glossy finish and the lines are awesome. And I found a chagrin dresser, mm-hmm. you know, and I had a lamp from like, I don't know, our other last place that we've collected things. And it just came together really beautifully. We talked about the golden rocker.
The vintage rocker.
On the heirloom episode. And
go ahead, tell them again.
Okay. Anyway, I needed a rocker. My space wasn't huge, so I knew I couldn't go like crazy deep on it. And so as I was searching for rockers, I found this really cool one that this gal was selling, and it was called an Eastlake rocker. Yeah, glider. Mm-hmm. And it was from like the late 1800s. And it had the coolest lines, really tired tapestry upholstery that I knew needed to get redone. The whole thing needed to be refreshed. But I bought it. For I think it was like $375. Mm-hmm. I ordered like this really rad gold velvet from one of our lines that was like another probably $375. I don't know. And then I got it reupholstered for a solid like $1,200. What is that? What am I at? Anyway.
$1,900.
Anyway, I rock my kids asleep in that every single night now. Yeah. And you know what? I don't regret it. It really is. And it's something that I think I'll love it in whatever room it lands in. It's just one of those pieces that has an opinion. Yes, when you want to redo stuff like that, there will be some things that come as is and it's awesome mm-hmm. and you don't have to invest any more in it. And then there will be some pieces that will be worth that investment. And again, it's the high-low game. Mm-hmm. And then there are other things that I got brand new, you know, through Allison things. But for the most part, like, yeah, I had to go really tight on a lot of places in my house, but there were things like my upholstery that I invested in, that chair, my mm-hmm. sofa, you know, things like that were worth it. The rugs, mm-hmm. you know, that makes the biggest difference. But there are ways to be clever as you are trying to design on a budget, which we all are working within.
Totally. So. Well, and you guys listen to the Courtney Grow episode. Mm-hmm. I forget what that one's called, but Do you remember? So about taste.
Yeah.
Courtney's an influencer here in Utah and has really great taste. And one of her tricks has just been buying art off of eBay, but it's originals. And a lot of what you find today are prints. And one of the other things that I love about Suzanne's home is it is full of art. Like, I don't know if she could actually fit any more art in her house. Don't tell her I said that, but she continues to buy it. Yeah, she hangs rugs on her wall and it is the most, it's like an art gallery in there. It's beautiful. And I think, you know, pretty much everything you have in there is an original piece of art. So you can comb eBay and find something really fantastic that's original for $33 and then have it reframed, you know? Yeah. So that's another really good tip.
Sachi, you have to pour, and on eBay, on any of these, like Courtney said on that episode, you have to pour through it. And on all these, if you're on a budget, you just have to give yourself patient. Time. Like at nighttime, that's what you're looking through. You're like flipping pages.
Do you have any advice on like estate sales or how to find great estate sales and how to shop them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, back in the day on the newspaper, that's where my mom would find them when we'd go yard selling as a kid. But estate sales are always my favorite just because an estate sale is when usually there's someone that has deceased and they are selling all the things in the house. And there's estates you can actually, there's companies, if you do a Google search in your area, there's companies that they actually manage estate sales and they'll do listings of all the ones that are coming up. So kind of have like that bookmarked so that you can go see those estate sales. And sometimes, I found good stuff at estate sales and it's great because if you find someone that was a collector, they'll usually have like beautiful silver and interesting depression ware and interesting, just cool collections. And you're probably not going to like 100% of it, but you'll find little gems where you'll be like, that feels luxurious. And it's different than a yard sale. Yard sales are stuff that people don't want. Estate sales, obviously it's just stuff that they no longer need because they're not living anymore. So yes. I would say look on like local listings of estate sale companies that run them. And then probably like on we have KSL and then Marketplace. You can also search those. And actually, I haven't been to one in a long time. Now I got an itch now that it's getting warm outside.
Well, what's so fun is we all hold cell phones in our hands. So we could go there and we could easily open a drawer and see a brand and Google it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And oftentimes Christie's, you know, auction house will be selling the same thing. I have a bedroom set that I was trying to sell. I knew it was worth something. I hate selling stuff. And I don't know how to really list them. So I was like, I'll just put it on my Instagram, you know, but it was this beautiful Henredon Barberberry bed. And I had this really pretty curio. They're both out of black walnut. And I was like, I don't even know what they're worth. And I Googled my pieces and they said the set was $16,000 at Christie's. And I was like, well, I'm going to sell them for $300. So, you know, I don't know how to buy this stuff. And I guarantee you, nobody else knows how to sell their stuff either. So it's fun to open up a drawer if you are in estate sale and just kind of understand what it is that you're working with. But I think some of the best advice Sue said earlier on this was to really study the rooms that you love and look at some of the characteristics of the pieces and go, oh, you know what? That piece right there, that's probably an antique. I need to find something like that and something like that. This I should buy new, but these other things I could really easily hit at estate sales. Or Sue's, your favorite of all of the places to thrift is Facebook Marketplace. You like that better than eBay and better than like Etsy or?
Yeah, because I'm lazy. And so sometimes like if I'm in bed, if I know that it's local and that I could like go down the street and get it, like it gives me that immediate gratification than having it ship. I know I'm a bad online shopper though. So again, that local thing, it feels like I'm just going down the street.
Totally.
So you can do those filters where you're like, but sometimes you can do the shipping and it's worth it. But the tricky thing about the shipping, especially with bigger pieces, is it likely could be more than the piece.
Yeah.
And so just understanding that that's what you're getting into.
Totally.
I do like Facebook. Yeah.
It's like a sport for us and for those that do it. Yeah. I'm for the most part at Alice Lane, you know, we have a furniture store, so we don't really do this for clients. We don't thrift for them. We just sell them brand new furniture and that's generally what they want.
Interesting profiles though.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? That looks like it has that collected feel, but some people, you might be a person, we have a couple friends that do not want to feel like the spirits of old in their home with like older pieces.
They feel like you have to sage the piece or that it has spirits or something.
You know. Yeah. So if that's not your jam, then that's okay. Then you're just going to be looking for those same profiles and you have to, you know, within like newer vendors, right? So yeah. That's what we do for clients.
I will say this in general, what I know about women is that they like to spend their money on a lot of little things. And it seems
so cute.
I know. And it seems like men like to spend money on big things. They'll be like, I bought a boat, you know, or I bought a car, but they don't really like spend their money on all the knickknacks and lots of things. But I would say in playing the furniture game, do not buy a lot of little things. Just save that money and just invest in a good sofa. Invest in one big thing. I'm so sorry, Target. I know you probably don't want to sponsor us, but you don't want to buy furniture at Target. Those dining chairs are going to be a nightmare for you in the future.
You don't want to buy your pillows at Target.
No.
Like big things, little things. Like none of them are big enough.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Don't buy the filler stuff. Like I'm going to buy this just until I can afford this.
Don't do it.
That's just throwing the...
It's going to go in the landfill. You'll hate yourself. Yeah.
And you won't understand why your room's not coming together. Mm-hmm. You'll be like, I thought I had all the pieces. I have pillows. I have end tables now. I have lights. It's just a problem with scale. The scale's not right.
Yeah.
Unless you live, you know, in a hobbit hole, then that's great. But
it's affordable because it's half the size that it should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's made out of half the amount of material that it should be.
And you'll need twice as many pillows that are 18 by 18 than you would if you just got two really great 24 22s. By 24s.
Yeah, totally.
In the corners. So
yeah. That's great.
If you've learned anything from us.
Yeah. Hopefully this
be that.
Yes. Hopefully this has been helpful. Adriel, thank you for the request. And for the rest of you listening, please send in your requests. We're like, I'm pretty sure we've talked about everything, but I know there's more to talk about. So feel free to send those requests to DearAlice@AliceLaneHome.com. And
before we end the podcast, we just want to mention our sponsor Grove and make sure you guys get this limited time offer. When our listeners go to grove.co, that's grove.co/DearAlice, you will get to choose a free gift with your first order of $30 or more, but you have to use a special code. Go to grove.co/DearAlice to get the exclusive offer. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next time.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you like our show, please leave a 5-star rating.